This episode covers how to tell if you're being defensive. She said something, and you went cold or loud or left the room, and you're not even sure why. What you're getting here are the body signals that show up before defensiveness takes over, and the short phrases that interrupt the pattern before it wrecks the conversation. You didn't decide to get defensive. It just happened. She said something, and before you could think about it, you were already building the counter-argument in your head. That speed isn't a character flaw. It's biology. When your brain reads a comment as a threat, even a social threat, not a physical one, it triggers the same stress response as if someone threw something at you. Your heart rate spikes. Your thinking narrows. Your body prepares to fight, flee,
or freeze.
All of that happens in under a second, before you've consciously processed what she actually said. The problem is that your threat detector was calibrated for danger, not for a long-term partner trying to tell you she feels unseen. Research on physiological flooding shows that when your heart rate climbs sharply during conflict, your ability to think clearly, listen well, or respond with any nuance drops hard. You're not being stubborn at that point. You're impaired. Most men were also raised with a version of the male code, the idea that you're supposed to hold your ground, not concede, never let someone make you look weak. When she raises a concern, that code reads it as a challenge to your competence, your effort, your decency as a husband and father. Of course your defenses go up. You've been trained to defend. The bad news, that training is costing you the intimacy you actually want. Every time you go defensive, she learns that raising anything with you is dangerous. She stops trying. The distance grows. The good news, the gap between the trigger and the response is small, but it's real. You can get into that gap. Here's what's actually happening in your body before defensiveness takes over. You can't catch defensiveness after it happens. By then, the damage is done. But you can learn to catch it while it's building. And the signals show up in your body first, not your thoughts. These five cues are your early warning system. Learn to recognize even one of them, and you've given yourself a real shot at interrupting the pattern. The first cue is the chest tightening, a physical squeeze in your sternum or upper chest, often arriving before you've processed what she said. This is your stress response firing. It's the body saying, incoming. The second cue is forming the counter-argument before she's done. She hasn't finished speaking, and you're already mentally listing the evidence that she's wrong. You're preparing your case, not listening to hers. The third cue is your jaw or shoulders tightening, physical bracing. Your body is getting ready to take a hit. A lot of men hold tension in the jaw, and a clenched jaw during conflict is almost always defensiveness in the body, before it becomes defensiveness in words. The fourth cue is your voice going flat
or measured.
This one surprises men. They think flat equals calm. But a sudden drop in vocal range mid-conversation is often emotional shutdown, the body's way of managing the threat by going cold. She reads it as disengagement. You call it staying calm. There's a difference. The fifth cue is mentally leaving the present moment. She's talking about tonight's dinner, and suddenly you're thinking about what happened 3 weeks ago, or how she did the same thing, or all the times you actually did try. You've left the current conversation. You don't need all five to be defensive. One is enough. Pick whichever one you recognize most easily and make it your signal. Underneath every defensive response is usually a thought. And that thought is almost always a distortion. Not a lie exactly, but a misread of what's actually happening. The most common one is, she's attacking me. This is called mind reading. You're assuming you know her intention without actually checking. And when you assume attack, you respond as if it's an attack, which means she receives a defensive counter response to a concern she raised, which makes her feel dismissed. Which makes her escalate or pull back. And the cycle runs. The reframe that changes everything is this. Her complaint is almost never an attack. It's a reach. When she says you never listen to me, she's not filing a formal complaint. She's telling you she feels lonely. She's reaching for connection through complaint because she doesn't know how else to say it, or because she's tried the direct version and it didn't get through. The complaint is the form. The loneliness is the content. That one reframe, she's not attacking me, she's reaching for me, is the single most useful shift in this whole episode. It doesn't excuse bad delivery on her part. It just gives you different information to work with, which lets you respond differently. Two other distortions worth watching for. Globalizing, where she says one thing and your brain turns it into she always does this, or nothing I do is ever good enough. One complaint becomes a verdict on you as a person. And the internal court case, where you're reviewing the evidence of your own good behavior, all the times you did try, and you're furious that none of it's being acknowledged. That's real and understandable. It's also the wrong courtroom. She's not arguing about your record. She's telling you how she feels right now. Now let's get into the actual words. A circuit breaker isn't a shutdown. It's a short phrase that interrupts the automatic response and buys you enough time to come back online. It keeps you in the conversation without forcing you to respond from a flooded state. Script one, the pause request, for when she raises something and you feel the tightening start. Stay physically in the room. Keep your voice low and level. Say this. Hold on. I want to hear this. Give me a second. Just pause and take a breath. Then turn toward her slightly. Then say, okay. Tell me why it works. You're not leaving, deflecting, or counterattacking. You're staying in contact while giving your brain a moment to step down from red alert. What happens next? She'll probably continue. Let her finish before you say anything. Your job for the next 2 minutes is to receive, not respond. Script two, the acknowledgement before the defense, for when her criticism feels at least partially unfair, but you can also see a grain of truth in it. Sit down if possible. Eye contact. Say this. You're right that I've been less present lately. I know that's been hard. Don't add. But then ask. What's it been like for you when that happens? Why it works. You've found one true thing in her complaint and led with it. That one acknowledgement does more to de-escalate the conversation than 10 defensive explanations would. The question at the end shifts her from complaint mode to disclosure mode, which is where real conversations happen. What happens next? She may be surprised. She was probably expecting the usual counter move. Let the silence sit for a moment. If she doesn't respond right away, don't fill it. Script three, naming what's happening in you, for when you can feel yourself going defensive and you want to flag it before it takes over. This one takes courage. It's a little exposed. That exposure is exactly what makes it work. Say this. I notice I'm getting defensive right now. I don't want to do that. Just pause for a moment. Then say, can you say that again? I want to actually hear it. Why it works. Naming the defensive reaction out loud takes its power away. You're not fighting her. You're fighting your own pattern in front of her. That's about the most disarming thing a man can do in an argument. What happens next? She'll almost certainly soften. The shift in her is usually visible. A small exhale, a drop in her shoulders. That's the intimacy connection. When she sees you working to stay open, she feels safe enough to soften. Script four, the flood exit. For when you're past the tipping point, your heart is racing. You can't think straight. And you know anything you say right now will make things worse. You need to leave the conversation temporarily without abandoning her. This must include a commitment to return. If you leave without that, it reads as stonewalling. Say this. I'm getting flooded right now and I need 20 minutes. This matters to me. I'm coming back. Just breathe for a moment before you carry on. Use the 20 minutes to calm your body. Walk, breathe, don't replay the argument. Then say, okay, I'm back, I'm ready to hear you. Why it works. Once physiological flooding hits, productive conversation is physiologically impossible. You're not choosing to be a bad listener. You genuinely can't listen well when flooded. The exit isn't abandonment. It's repair preparation. What matters is the return. What happens next? When you come back as promised, her trust in you takes a small step forward. You did what you said you'd do. That matters more than most men realize. Script 5. After you already went defensive, for when you didn't catch it in time. You got defensive, maybe said something dismissive, and the conversation ended badly. You're coming back to repair. Don't wait too long. Same day, if possible. Sit close. Don't open with an explanation. Say this. I was defensive earlier, and I don't want to leave it like that. Just pause for a moment. And don't explain why you got defensive. Then say, what were you actually trying to tell me? I want to hear it this time. Why it works. You're not rehashing the argument or defending your original position. You're reopening the door you closed. The question at the end tells her that what she was reaching for actually matters to you. And that's usually the thing she most needed to feel in the first place. What happens next? She may be cautious at first. Let her be. Don't rush her into acceptance. The repair isn't complete until she feels heard. Not just until you've said the right words. Defensiveness shows up differently, depending on how you're wired. If you tend to keep the peace and avoid conflict, your defensiveness is quieter than most. You might smooth things over, agree too fast, or redirect to something positive. On the surface, this looks cooperative, but avoiding the real content of her complaint is still a defensive move. Your adjustment resists the urge to fix the tension by agreeing or redirecting. Sit in the discomfort a moment longer. Use script 2. Find the grain of truth. Acknowledge it. And ask what it's been like for her. If you tend to get defensive quickly, this episode speaks directly to you. You experience her concerns as attacks on your character or effort, and you respond with counter evidence. All the things you've done, all the ways she's wrong, all the context she's ignoring. Your counter arguments are often logically valid. That's what makes them so damaging. She stops feeling like she's in a conversation and starts feeling like she's in a courtroom. Your adjustment, the circuit breaker, is your best tool. Use script 1 or script 3 every time you feel the counter-argument forming before she's finished speaking. If you tend to get loud or intense under stress, your defensiveness goes loud. Raised voice, sharp tone, a counter-criticism that comes back harder than what she brought. You probably don't think of this as defensiveness. It might feel more like frustration or righteous anger. But the pattern is the same. Incoming concern, threat response, escalation instead of reception. Your adjustment, physical de-escalation, has to come first. Before any script, lower your voice deliberately. Sit down if you're standing. The physical shift signals your nervous system before your thoughts catch up. Then use script 4 if you're already too activated. If you tend to go quiet under stress, your defensiveness looks like absence. You go quiet, you check out, you give one-word answers until she either escalates or gives up. You're not counterattacking. You're retreating. The effect on her is the same as defensiveness, though. She can't reach you, so she stops trying, or she gets louder, which makes you retreat further. Your adjustment, the most important move for you, is physical presence. Don't leave the room. Even if you can't find the words, staying in the physical space and using a short phrase like, I hear you, I need a minute, keeps the connection open. Script 1 is your version of the circuit breaker. If she keeps pushing or escalates when you try to pause, her pattern is likely pursuit. She escalates because she's learned that's the only way to get a response from you. Your pause, even when well-intentioned, can read as another withdrawal. Use script 1, but keep physical contact, stay in the room, maintain eye contact, and say, I'm not going anywhere, give me a second. The physical presence changes the meaning of the pause. If she goes quiet, or seems to shut down, she may have moved into resignation. She's heard you get defensive enough times that she stopped expecting anything different. Your circuit breaker phrases might land with skepticism or silence. Don't push for a response. Use script 2. Acknowledge the grain of truth and leave the door open. You don't have to respond right now. I just wanted you to know I heard it. The shift builds over time, not in one conversation. If she deflects or says it's fine after you try to repair, she's protecting herself. She's learned that expressing a concern leads to defensiveness, so she's preemptively pulling back before she gets hurt. Don't accept it's fine if the situation clearly wasn't. Use script 5. I don't think it is fine. I'd rather hear what's actually going on. That signal that you want the real version and not the safe version is what shifts her trust over time. If she seems as defensive as you are, when both of you are defending and neither is receiving, the pattern flips into a standoff. You can't control her side of this. You can only change yours. Whoever de-escalates first wins the conversation, not just the argument. Use script 3. Name your own defensiveness out loud. That one move often breaks the symmetry because it signals you're choosing connection over winning. 3 things make defensiveness worse. The first is explaining why you got defensive. After you've caught yourself going defensive and decided to repair, it's tempting to explain your reaction. I got defensive because I felt like you were attacking me. This sounds self-aware, but it almost always backfires. It shifts the conversation back to your experience of her complaint, which is the opposite of what she needs right now. Save the explanation for a calmer moment, or skip it entirely. What she needs from the repair is to feel heard, not to understand your stress response. The second is prefacing the acknowledgement with but. Script 2 only works without the but. You're right that I've been less present, but I've also been dealing with a lot at work. Takes back everything the first half gave. The but signals that the acknowledgement was just a setup for the defense. She hears it immediately. If you have context that matters, share it separately, in a different conversation, after she feels heard. The third is keeping score out loud. When you list what you've done right in response to a complaint, you're in the wrong conversation. She's not auditing your performance. She's telling you how she feels. The score might be accurate. You probably do more than she's acknowledging in this moment. That's real. But bringing it into the repair conversation turns it into a negotiation over facts, and she'll walk away feeling less heard than when she started. This just about having better arguments. The reason defensiveness matters for intimacy is specific. When she brings something up and you go defensive, she learns that expressing a need to you is unsafe, not dangerous, just costly. The cost is that she'll have to manage your reaction on top of whatever she was already carrying. Over time, she stops raising things. The silence that follows isn't peace, it's distance. Research on perceived partner responsiveness shows that feeling heard and seen by your partner is the core driver of both emotional closeness and sexual desire in long-term relationships. Not romance. Not grand gestures. Being able to bring something up and have your partner actually receive it. When you catch defensiveness before it takes over, when you use a circuit breaker, find the grain of truth, name what's happening in you instead of weaponizing it, you're doing something she can feel. Her shoulders drop a little. The tension in the room changes. That physical shift is the intimacy payoff. It's small in the moment. It compounds over months. She's not looking for you to be perfect. She's looking for evidence that she can reach you. Every time you interrupt your own defensive pattern, you give her that evidence. You'll go defensive, sometimes even with all of this. That's not failure. That's normal. What matters is how fast you catch it and what you do next. If you catch it in the same conversation, stop mid-response. Literally, stop. Say, wait, I'm doing the thing again. Can I start over? You don't need to explain more than that. The interruption itself signals you're paying attention to your pattern. Most of the time, she'll let you try again. If the conversation ended badly, don't wait until morning if you can help it. Use script 5. Don't lead with an apology if the apology is mostly about making yourself feel better. Lead with the open question instead. What were you actually trying to tell me? Is a more powerful repair move than I'm sorry I got defensive. If it's been a day or two, acknowledge the gap. I've been thinking about what you said the other night, and I think I shut down instead of hearing you. Then ask the question. The fact that you came back to it, that it stayed with you, is itself a signal that she matters to you. What is my specific part in the pattern we've been stuck in? I shut her down before she even finishes a sentence. That's on me. You caught at least one body cue before you responded, and you used a circuit breaker phrase instead of the counter argument you had ready. She kept talking instead of shutting down or escalating. That's it. That's a win. If you want to go deeper on this, you'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio, or head to the Two-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. I hope this helps.